Good afternoon. I am humbled to be here this morning for a lot of reasons this afternoon. Brother Tucker, I sat there and I wept because, as they said, that brother went through a lot. And every time I see him, he has a wonderful smile. And he's glad to be here. Praise the Lord for him and for his family. Let me open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you, O God, for your love, that you sent your only begotten, your precious one, here to redeem a lost generation. And Lord, we pray that as your word goes out this morning, that it will touch those who need to hear. It will touch those who will realize they cannot do it on their own. And as Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. So this morning, we pray, O God, that your word will do its job, for we know it will not return to you void. It will do what it has to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This is a familiar scripture that we have heard and read and has been ministered on many times. It's Romans 1, verses 18 to 23, and 16 and 17 kind of capitalizes it, but let me just briefly go over it. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. For who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. And for foolishness, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. I'll stop there. I titled this message, Are You Ready for Your Day in Court? Everyone has an appointed time. There is an appointment each of us receives the day we are born. And it's, as I would have likened it to our earthly courts, it's like this. You have a summons, a writ, as it were, commanding you, a specific person, to appear in court. What court are we talking about? We're talking about God's heavenly court. You can't ignore his summons because you're going to have to show up whether you like it or not. You see, here on earth, you can change states to get away from it. You can even leave countries to get away from it. And some who are smart enough or wise enough in their own eyes will go to a country where they have no, what they call, extradition agreement. So therefore, no matter what, they can't reach you. But God can reach you anywhere. You can't hide. You can't run. This passage of scripture is one of my favorites because, as Paul lets us know, that none of us are unaware of the presence of God. And when you think about that for a moment, you kind of say, well, how is that possible? Because as you look around you every single day, something identifies the greatness of God. Something identifies the handiwork of God. And not only that, even if you choose not to look at the things around you, look at your very self. There's not a thing on your body that you have done. There's not a breath you can take that does not come from God. There's not a step you can take without God's power. God has made himself known to you. Your heart beats. You can't control it. The moment you stop your heartbeat, you cease to exist. The moment you hold your breath, and I know there's some who practice holding their breath can do it for a good long time. But if they don't take that next breath, they will never take another breath. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. And I will also say felt. When you stepped out of your house this morning, you felt something. It may not have been summer weather, but you felt something. It was cold. And as I said to somebody just a few moments ago, yesterday I came out, I had on my coat, and still it was comfortable. But I stepped out later on that evening, and the cold hit me like ice. What had happened? God. He says, I'm in control. I'm the one that makes it warm. I'm the one that makes it cold. Listen, they are fighting fires in California, which happens every year. Guess what? We had fires in North Carolina, too. We had snow in places that we never had snow before. I was waiting for one of my grandsons, and a friend of ours that was on the line, she said, do you know they had snow in Jamaica? And she said, not Jamaica, Queens, either. God alone can do that. Many of us here, oh man, I can't wait for summer, I get back there, or I want to go down to Barbados, or I want to get to Jamaica, I want to go to Antigua. Doesn't matter. God can make it snow there too. Why is this important? Because as we continue to look at it, not only does he make himself aware to us, but we decide to close our eyes. Right now, in our country, we are undergoing some horrendous stuff. I try not to listen to the news because there's nothing good on there. The only good news is God's news. The good news of God is that he's come to earth many years ago. But you know something? He's coming back. That's his promise. And the God I know keeps his promise. Why is that important for us to know? Because there are some individuals, as the word said, they profess themselves to be wise. I can call some names right now, and you will say, oh, these, yeah, those are wise people. They've done great things. Zuckerberg, make it possible for you to search all kinds of things online. And then you have Gates, who turned the computers into everyday things. And then you have Steve Jobs. He built one company, got thrown out of that company, built another company, and they called him back again. You call him wise. You call him smart. And then you have our favorite, Elon Musk. Now, if that is not a person who individuals would lift up and praise as being wise, but has made himself foolish. When you look at him on stage and in the public eye, does that act like a man that is wise? That has intelligence? No. God alone is the one that has wisdom. God alone is the one that has brought us here. So in man's wisdom, they have turned all kinds of things to worship. Many people are worshiping our new president. Now, this is true. You laugh, but they do. They think he's the greatest thing. And his mantra is he's going to make things great again. And he started off by denying the existence of people. Unfortunately, I read last night that they have decided to cancel Black History Month. They've decided to do that. And the man that has decided to do that is the head of the Department of Defense, who in the military could not get promoted. And now he's in charge of the Joint Chiefs. You see, they profess themselves to be wise, but in their wisdom, they do foolish things. And they decided that years ago, as we realized, they don't want the Bible in school because that is pointing to their weakness. In Exodus chapter 20, in verses 4 through 7, it says this: "You shall not make for yourselves a graven image. You shall not bow down to them. I am the Lord, and you shall not take my name in vain." They have taken the Lord's name in vain. They have decided to worship man. They have decided to worship objects. God gave clear instructions who to worship, how to worship. But they choose not to worship God as God. They rather worship these things they have created in their hands. The Message puts it like this: people knew God perfectly well, but when they didn't treat him like God, refusing to worship him, they trivialized themselves into silliness and confusion, so that there were neither sense nor direction left in their lives. That is from the Message translation. In other words, all common sense was gone. And there's a phrase that we like to say: common sense is not common. But nevertheless, faith in God. In John 3:16 and 3:36, it says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life." All that worshiped here this morning, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have life. And I'm not necessarily talking about this physical standing up life. I'm talking about eternal life. I'm talking about a life that will never cease, because when he returns, we're going to be like him. And we will never have to worry about pain and anguish again. We have seen the miracle of God. A testimony for you. I've said this before, but I'm going to add something that many of you may not have known. Several years ago, my oldest son had a fever, and we did not know where this fever was coming from. My wife and I were getting ready to go away for a weekend on a trip, just for the weekend. And while we were gone, my son got sick again. The fever came back. They took him, my daughter got him to the hospital. We went to the hospital, we came back. When we heard, we went up there. Dr. Yuta met us there, and we couldn't find out what was going on. We had this doctor, came, says, oh, well, he's got a fever. We don't know what it is, but we think it might be his gallbladder. We're going to take out his gallbladder, and we'll see, you know, how it goes. My wife, you know how mothers are. My wife and I, we said, no, you're not doing any surgery. And he was arguing. He actually took out a tissue box, turned it upside down, and started drawing stuff on it. We said, we're not doing any surgery. He says, okay, the surgeon's going to be in here on Monday and whatnot. I don't remember his name. I know he was Jewish, but he knew his stuff. And he said to us, he says, Mr. and Mrs. Grinch, don't worry about it. We're not doing any surgery until we find out what's going on. And that was the end of it. Today, Richard is here, and he has not had surgery. The fever is gone, and it hasn't returned. And he got all his organs that he was born with. I don't care how wise men think they are. There's no wisdom like God's wisdom. And he alone is the one that keeps us standing upright. If you're here this morning, this afternoon, and I'm abbreviating this because I know there's a lot of things to be done today, and I had some other scriptures to refer to. But one of the things I want everyone in this room to realize, without Christ, you do not exist. You can't live without Christ. You go through the motions. You're powerful. You can walk around and everything like that. You think you're on your own steam. But let me tell you this, God alone knows how long you have. I know Brother Victor always says, you want to know whether you're young or old? You let me know when you're going to die, and I'll tell you whether you're young or old. And you might think about it, you go like, oh, that's a nice little joke, but think about it. Do you know when you're going to die? Each one of us pray every night, oh, Lord, help me to see tomorrow. Okay, so with that, you're not looking to die. But one thing that was mentioned this morning, that man on the cross, when he said, remember me, I'm going to say to those of you who are here who have not yet accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today you need to say to him, remember me. Remember me. I need you to help me survive what is coming. When we gather on Saturdays with the Awana kids, we try to help them to understand that they need Jesus in their life. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Another scripture says, I call on you young men because you are strong. Now, I don't care if a young man that might be physically weak, but if he would apply himself spiritually, he can be a mighty man. I say to you today, do not leave here without first saying to the Lord, save me. I need your help. I need your strength. That's what we need from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what you need from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I submit to you today, trust the Lord and do not delay. May God bless us.